Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Yeah, Ants, you're right. He needs 1-800-9 with it. Several people...
I thought about calling it last night, not going to lie.
And James Strebel.
Strebel doesn't know the other side of
this. Yes, you don't. He doesn't understand.
This is the other side of this,
yeah,
Strebel.
I don't understand it. Like, this,
yeah.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So it's a Wednesday, hanging out with you a couple more hours up until 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Reminder, coming up tonight, my Atlanta Hawks. Hawks and Bucks, 8 o'clock. Catch it right here on ESPN 680 105.7. 93.9. We'll have Stanford Vanderbilt in the College World Series. That one, 8 o'clock right after LSL. That's over on 93.9 The Ville. So we are locked and loaded tonight. And then coming up over the weekend on Saturday, Lou City in action, hosting the Indy 11 squad, if you will. We'll have that game right here on ESPN Louisville. And coming up tomorrow, reminder, Soccer City every Thursday, 6 to 7 right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Well, Pat Forty joins us here every Wednesday on the program. And obviously, congratulations to your family, Pat. And I'm excited to talk to you today. And we have lots of college football playoff stuff. We obviously have, you know, name, image, and likeness, NCAA, and much, much more. But you got an Olympian in the family. I know some of the story while following, obviously, everything that was going on, listening to the podcast and everything else. But, Pat, congratulations and good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Andy. Incredible thrill, incredibly stressful few days, but having it end the way it did was a very, very happy thing for our family, that's for sure.
Okay, so we talked last week, and I can't even remember with all the days running together. Your daughter, Brooke, swam and then sat, for 4 days, right? Sweating the numbers.
So, like, when we talked last Wednesday, she had her finals in the 200 freestyle that night.
Yep.
And she did great. Swam her lifetime best time, finished sixth, and sixth is the number that should get you in the Olympics. But in this case, there's a headcount cap of 26 on the team, and I don't want to go, you know, Goodwill Hunting into all of the mathematics of it, but we had to sweat out 4 days of results to figure out whether she was going to make it. And it literally went down to the last arm strokes of the last event of the women's meet on Sunday night before we knew for sure that she was in.
I would imagine you were crawling out of your skin for 4 days.
It was the most stressful 4 days I can remember, at least related to anything to do with swimming. That's for anything to do with athletics, period. I mean, it was brutal because, you know, I know the sport really well since I cover it as well. So I had looked at everything and, you know, kind of tried to handicap it all. And, you know, you listen to everybody else. Everybody's like, oh, don't worry, it'll be fine. It's all going to work out, blah, 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 blah. And then you start thinking of that, like, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And day by day, sometimes it looked great, sometimes it looked bad. And it was just like you were exhausted mentally because it was out of her hands. She'd done her last swim. And you were relying on the outcomes from other people to break the right way. And finally, by like Sunday, you know, we're waiting for the 50 freestyle, the fastest event, total crapshoot, anything can happen. And we're like, we're not even going to watch. We can't even watch, my wife and I. And then we finally decided, okay, we'll watch. But then Brooke didn't watch. She was sitting with her Stanford teammates, and she did not watch the race. But the result came out in her favor, and we all got to celebrate after that.
What was the biggest over those 4 days, would you say, your biggest moment of doubt, if you will?
Yeah, it was Saturday night for sure. That was like we needed three good things to happen, and we got two of them. And one of them that didn't happen was the world record holder in the 200 backstroke came in third. We're like,
wow,
how's this possible? You know, and like that was, we were counting on that one. We figured we get that, we're golden, we should be done. And after that was the third day through the gauntlet, and like we were all just exhausted mentally. And we met up with Brooke, and she was pretty well shot. That was definitely the low point for her, you know. And she's just like, I just want this to be over. And we're thinking, yeah, so do we. And that was definitely tough. But, you know, we had another chance on Sunday, and fortunately that one worked out.
Pat Forty with us on ESPN 680 105.7. And then you come home and you get grilled by Rick Bozich. So I'm glad to see you survive that hard-hitting interview. Rick Bozich grilling you, raking you over the coals.
Yeah. Rick over at the house here. Yeah. Yes, the interrogation.
Yes,
from the guy that I worked with for 17 years at the Courier, and I had my office right next to him. So it was pretty cool getting interviewed by Ricky Bo. But it was funny, you know, to be on that side of things. That's for sure.
Pat Forty with us here. It's The Take on ESPN 680 105.7. And now that you're going over there to Tokyo, and you have a press pass. You get to follow some of this, but families can't go. That's correct. I'm right, aren't I? So, like,
yeah.
Special. I mean, this is an interesting dynamic for you because you get to follow this. Your daughter's a part of it, and it's not going to just be open to all family members to be there. That's I guess interesting. I don't know if that's the word, but that is an interesting part of this, I guess, for you.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really weird. As I say, I feel almost like a little bit of survivor guilt. Like all these other families can't go. You know,
yeah.
Katie Ledecky's family can't go, and Caleb Dressel's, and all the track stars, and the Simone Biles family can't go, and I get to go. But well, I'm going to take it. You know, somebody jokingly said, you know, a lot of the parents of these people are, you know, rich doctors and lawyers and captains of industry and everything. Well, maybe they should have been a sports writer. Because every once in a while you get some perks. So I will be able to be there.
Yeah, this is a positive perk besides the media buffet. You don't have to be in a smelly scrum at a Final Four. You get to do that. You get to almost be choked out by Bobby Knight. There are several perks, and they're not always perks. This being a big time perk. Well, congratulations, Pat, to you and your family, and Brooke. And obviously, we're following the story. We will follow the story. Interested in your coverage and everything there with SI. Let's pivot, I guess, just quickly to some other things. General question, and then obviously we'll dive into more specifics. Name, image, and likeness. That saga. The Supreme Court gets involved, that ruling and that saga, all the NCAA is dead stuff over the last few days. I know you've been a lot of swimming and a lot of family stuff, obviously, but what have you found to be most interesting as the last week had played out and been kind of dramatic here as we're in, you know, mid-June in summer radio?
Yeah, boy, it has been, you know, the NCAA news doesn't stop for long because the NCAA is too busy getting its tail kicked left and right all across the landscape. So, you know, the Alston ruling is major, although it may not immediately by itself be a fundamental shifter because it's pretty limited in scope. But what it does is it basically pointed the roadmap for if you want to sue the NCAA for restraint of trade and for antitrust violations, by all means, go ahead because the Supreme Court will back you. And so the law of the land was pretty well laid down in a manner that I think should have the NCAA very scared of, like, dozens, maybe hundreds of lawsuits. I don't know, you know, from various athletes and other people who feel like they were not able to be compensated fairly due to these rules. And the NCAA has its own self to blame because they resisted forever even coming up with a piecemeal solution, a compromise of any kind. It was always just, no, amateurism is the thing. Everything else is bad. We stand on that. And to be stupid enough to fight that to the Supreme Court when you are playing a losing hand is incredible. You know, it's like taking a jack high hand and pushing all your chips in the middle. Like, what are you doing here? And so they got routed in that, and I think it's going to have repercussions. Name, image, and likeness, sitting there flailing around again. They could have passed something in January and had a rule. They don't. Now, July 1st, we're going to have a patchwork of rules all over the country, It's going to be a mess. But again, the NCAA, lack of action, lack of foresight, lack of vision. Here we are.
What do you think will happen here? They'll come up with something, a framework. Will the NCAA, what do you foresee? Because I would imagine next week, Pat, this is going to be the main story that we talk about. If the NCAA comes out with a plan, what do you think they'll do?
Yeah, I would say probably that next week there will be, you know, something that, you know, by June 30th has, you know, whether it's the NCAA basically saying we're suspending our own limitations and we're going to, you know, allow things to happen and then we will follow up with more specific legislation or what, I don't know. But they will have to have some, you know, statement, some action plan before July 1st, because on July 1st, guys are going to start getting paid. You know, I mean, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, whatever, power forwards, guards, they on at 12:01, you're going to start seeing sponsored tweets, advertising tweets, and the money's going to start rolling in, and it's going to be very different in Georgia than it is in Colorado. It's going to be different, you know, I mean, various different states, and it's going to be up to the NCAA to catch up to where it's going.
Pat Forte with us on ESPN 680 1057. You have followed the NCAA, obviously, for quite some time. I mean, your entire career. When was the tipping point, do you think, with the NCAA? Like, just with all of this. Like, and I've been trying to think because I don't know. I felt like it's really been magnified over the last few years, like maybe 5 years, but maybe you would have more perspective. It feels like it's a long time coming, but it also feels like, you know, when Justice Kavanaugh says the NCAA is not above the law, well, they have been, Pat, for decades. They literally have been. Jay Billis was on with Bob and was like, they're serial antitrust violators. Yes, they absolutely have been above the law. They haven't been held to the law. It just feels like it's boiled up to this point, but I don't know where the tipping point was where even the NCAA lost everybody. But I feel like it's been in the last 5 years, but it's definitely happened. Obviously, people are cheering about this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's happened. And yeah, they have, you know, this is one of those stances now that is almost completely lost support after having plenty of support for a long time. And, you know, you can point to some kind of spots in the roadmap along the way. You know, 1984, when they deregulated the television and allowed for all the proliferation of games and more money to be made. 90s, when players, college basketball players, started going pro either immediately or just being one and done. That, I think, started to erode at the belief, you know, like, why should we go to college? It's a ripoff. You know, so Fab Five, Kevin Garnett sort of era, LeBron James. And then I think when, you know, the video game situation and the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit gets filed, I think that was around maybe 2008 or something. And then mm-hmm. for me, my personal tipping point was realignment in 2010-11 when they just tore up the map purely to make more money. And, you know, West Virginia is in the same conference with schools in Texas. And, you know, I mean, none of it makes any sense except, well, the only answer is we want to make more cash. And at that point, you're like, okay, if that's all this is about, then give the players some. And, you know, I think since then it's only continued to escalate, I think, in people's minds that this is unfair. And we finally reached a point, I'd say you're probably right, maybe 5 years ago or so, when certainly the majority of people, it seems, realize that the NCAA rules are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just the player empowerment has picked up so much where it's like professionals, like everyone's speaking out against the NCAA and some of their rulings and everything else. What could the NCAA have done differently here? Like if you came back and said, hey, you could have done this and this, and it just would have been easier. Would it have been back in January with the name, image, and likeness? Is it that simple, do you think?
That's the most recent time that they screwed it. You know, I think that if you go back to, you know, the first Alston ruling was basically let athletes have education-related expenses, like laptops and things like that, and the NCAA dug in their heels on that. You know,
yeah,
a billion-dollar entity and you don't want to give athletes a free laptop? okay, great. You're going to die on that hill? Well, guess what? You're now dying on it. So that was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, I just think that the succession of bad, bad legal stances, because Donald Remy, who was the number two guy, but kind of 1B to Mark Emmert's 1A, and this was Dumb and Dumber, basically running the show, you know, they just decided pretty unilaterally, although with the support of the presidents who run the council and stuff, that, yeah, this is where we're going to make our stand. And guess what? It turned out to be a terrible place to make your stand.
Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 1057. The future of the NCAA looks like what, do you think? People have been talking about the death of the NCAA. And, you know, I don't know how to even talk about this, quite frankly. So what are the options? What do you think will happen here in the short term and then maybe the long term? Any hunches?
Well, it's still problematic. You know, and here's where the Power Five conferences kind of get in their own way, because they're all greedy as hell too here.
Sure.
It's not just the big bad NCAA. It is the fact that the Power Five is soullessly looking out for their own selves. And so if they want to break away, they got to run championships and they got to have a police force. They have to have an enforcement group. And I don't think they want to have any part of either of those. I think they'd rather let the NCAA continue to run championships and do a pretty good job of it, other than, you know, women's basketball being far inferior to women's men's basketball, that sort of thing. But they run championships and to be the police, because they don't want to do it. And they don't care whether the NCAA is good at being the police. They just want someone else to have that responsibility and take the criticism. So I think that in some form or fashion, the NCAA will still be wanted and needed. But, you know, do we still have the Power Five and the Arrested Division One in the same division? I don't know. I certainly hope so for the sake of March Madness, but I'm not sure.
This might be a stupid question, but Louisville fans are like, hey, if the NCAA dies, what about us? Well, you know, that's wins, banners, you know, this IARP, which may or may not. I mean, the Committee of Infractions has returned two cases, and the IARP is returned none. Louisville fans like, hey, let's just go ahead and put this banner back, given that the NCAA is toothless right now and might die. Paul Feinbaum said they're dead.
Well, that's classic, like, you know, the way a single fan base looks at things. What's in it for us? And hey, yeah, can we get our banners back? I don't know. Again, I don't think it's happening. Like, this isn't coming to a head like this year.
No.
I mean, first of all, you'd have to have, again, all these people to agree on what a new structure would look like, and they don't agree on much of anything.
On anything. No, they couldn't. You know? I mean, they ultimately did, but like, They all had to start their seasons at a different time, playing a different amount of games, waiting two weeks, not playing conference games, or only playing conference games. It's a mess.
So they could barely agree on how to have a football season. Now you're going to ask them to create an entire new college athletic structure. If it does happen, it's going to take some time. 5 years, I don't know, whatever. I just think that anybody that's starting a countdown clock for the death of the NCAA has no idea like how long it could last.
Most famous laptop in college football, Cam Newton's laptop. You mentioned being able to get laptops. Cam Newton's laptop that was stolen, had his name on it, he threw it out a window. And then he went to Auburn and rambled through everyone's secondary for 14 straight games or whatever it was. Last one for Pat Forty here. Publicly, what do you think will be the holdup, if at all, with the college football expansion stuff? We're starting, you know, obviously, was it the Texas A&M AD? We have TV partners to worry about. There are some hoops to jump through. Publicly, what will be the talking points, do you think, as we figure this baby out here so we can start this in a couple years?
I think to their own detriment, it is going to be them trying to make sure they take care of the bowls. Why they feel so beholden to take care of the bowls, I don't know, but they do. They are, you know, I mean, the Rose Bowl is still considered the sacrosanct thing, you know, that can't be moved from January 1st, and it can't be moved from 4 in the afternoon or 5, whatever, you know, whenever the sun's going to set in the San Gabriel's in the third quarter. So they still, I think, have to finesse all of this and figure out the bowl situation. And then I think now you've got to get the players, I think, to all buy in on 16, 17 games. As this thing has crept up, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 games, the seasons keep getting longer. You know, that now there's not a player organization per se, but we've seen players wield some power in recent years of saying, you know, no, we need to be considered in this. So I think there's that. I think the TV partners, my suspicion, that, you know, when these things come up, you never hear from ESPN.
Right.
Because I think ESPN's already been consulted and signed off one way or the other on what goes on.
100%. You know? Total yeah. agreement. Total agreement.
Yeah. They are a strong, silent partner in this.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. What do you think of baseball players pulling their pants down now, Pat?
I don't know. I you're going to have to catch me up on this.
Oh, who was it, Mitch? It was Romo, the relief
pitcher. Sergio
pitcher.
Romo, and then the more famous one was Scherzer, yes.
Yeah, they got checked for sticky substances, and Romo literally just, like, undid his belt and pulled his pants down. And you got to go find it on Twitter. And then Scherzer got checked, what, like four or five times, Mitch?
By Joe Girardi, yeah.
By Girardi. And so they beefed. Mad Max and Girardi about threw down after he got checked like eight different times.
Yeah, I'm surprised Scherzer didn't plunk the next batter up after that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're exactly right. Mitch, also, you need to tell Pat Forte your big news.
I already knew. We discussed it off air.
There you go. Well, there you go.
I'm bringing the losing to St. Louis with me, Pat.
You're done.
No, the other way around, man. You're going to get it going. You're going to get it so they can...
I'm going to have to warm up the arm.
No.
Let's go.
Pat, he's a curse, man. I hate telling you. The curse of Mitch, it's real. I believe in it.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe in it. Well, Pat, again, congratulations. We'll catch up next week. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy some rest and relaxation from all the pressure over the last week or so. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Andy.
All right. Thank you. Pat Forte with us here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Oh, Portugal just scored again.
Ronaldo.
Because he can only score penalty kicks because he's a bum elsewhere.
I was all in on your guy Benzema. I mean, he took the lead for you. He scored
both goals. Ronaldo a bum. You're such a bum.
Because all he can do is score penalty kicks. That's the majority of his goals. And I know one texter is a Juventus fan. He's going to come at me on the text line and be like, you're wrong, Mitch. I'm going to provide all these stats. I don't care. He's a bum. He can only score penalty kicks. Messi's better.
I got that mic just goes off. just boom, gone.
He got hit with drinks, too. Uh-oh, and the beautiful game. Oh, there you go.
That is the beautiful game right there. Yeah. All right. I think I like Portugal. Sorry, Mitch. Portugal.
I saw what you were looking at.
I tell you, the World Cup, it is always, like, exotic.
It is.
There's, like, these women from other countries, and you're like, and Strebel's used to Sellersburg in New Albany and Dixie Highway,
yeah.
And he's just confused as all bleep.
And I watch it, I'm like, huh, look at that.
You know what? Speaking of being a different man, Rummage today.
Oh.
No hat in the office.
No hat?
No hat in the office.
Wow.
And he was having a conversation about Nordy C.
Yeah.
You know, a conversation that, you know, we're not allowed.
We're not allowed. No, this is a very private conversation.
And I go, look at this. I go, this makes me happy. Look at this.
Did you see he posted a picture last night, little late night walk.
Little family walk.
Little family walk. And
look
he
at that.
Walking around Nordy C. And he's like, he's not wearing like what I'm wearing right now. Basketball shorts, a hat,
he's
t-shirt.
Dressed up.
He's like dressed up, no hat, walking around the neighborhoods. Like, I guess hats aren't allowed in Nordy C. You had to sign that agreement. Can't wear a hat outside at Nordy C. But good for him.
Good for him. Doesn't sound like it's good for
him.
No,
it is good. I mean, congratulations, Rummage. The private Nordy C conversations.
Texas says, per Google Maps, Santa Claus, Indiana is 93 miles from Owl Creek. Thank you for that text.
I love texters like this guy. Strebel told someone to go F themselves. The same Strebel that ratted out my nephew for cussing at school last year.
You
ratted somebody out?
I don't remember
that. Was it a student?
No, I didn't.
Did you rat out a student for cursing?
I didn't rat out anybody for cursing. That's not true. I didn't rat anybody out for cursing.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, now I need to find the story.
I don't know the story. I don't think that happened.
I need to find out more about this story.
Yeah, I don't think that happened. I don't remember doing that.
The kids aren't allowed to curse at school, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, I didn't curse on the radio either.
I mean, you have.
Not that, like, a bad curse word, but yeah, I didn't curse.
Yeah, but you cursed on the air.
Not you like one of the bad the, words. It's a difference.
Cursed on the air.
If the kids is like, damn or hell, I'll be like, hey, don't say that. But I'm not gonna like get mad about it. I mean, sometimes words slip out. It happens.
Does that ever happen at home?
What do you mean? Like with my kids?
Yeah, because that always happens. Yeah, about that age.
It happens. It's like, hey, just don't say that. Like, stop. That's it. You move on.
That's where the soap conversation came from.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. But we haven't done that since probably we had that conversation.
MAGA Mitch doesn't care about stats or facts.
That a shot is Ronaldo take.
Texas says Ronaldo is now tied for the most international goals ever with 109.
And how many of those are penalty kicks? Research that for me.
Do you have any idea? I don't have any idea. You're not bringing any stats. You're just emotional.
Also,
what a
terrible penalty call.
It
was terrible.
I saw it and I thought it was terrible. Mitch again is in bad, bad gambling shape right now. He is floundering.
He thought
Benzema saved him. I still think you're going to win this match. Mitch, let's go ahead and play. Let's play some sound here before we take a break. I do want to get into some mock draft stuff coming up at 4:30.
All right.
I want to talk about that because I think we both have a conversation that we can get into there. And I have an idea for Jeff Greer at some point.
Oh,
and I have a
Mr.
Kentucky
Greer.
Basketball take. You damn right I do.
All right.
What sound should we play here? We have some blank sound. We also have Issel sound. Boy, this Issel sound looks good.
I've listened to the entire show today, by the way.
I did.
They had Travis Ford on.
Is that
they had Wes Durham?
Okay, is that making up for?
No, I was mowing the
your
yard.
Your sins yesterday.
No. Yeah, I mean, yesterday you listened to a lot of KSR.
I did. I was mowing the yard and doing the.
Oh,
and
Hungary just scored! What a wild tournament. Germany's a bunch of frauds.
Yeah.
What's the score there?
2-1.
2-1? All right.
Well, there you go.
2-2 here.
Some bald guy who looks like Ince who's losing his mind. Germany's coach is picking his nose on.
You know the thing about that is soccer fans either look like ants or they're like models.
They're beautiful.
Or they're like the most, it's like odd. Yeah. Like you'll see a guy with a shirt off that looks like me.
Right.
Like vaping in the crowd. And
like
you'll
that
be like,
guy right there, the
jeans. Yes, and you'll be like, that guy's a lunatic. And then you'll see like tens. And I mean like men and women.
Yeah, all
like,
yeah,
just like
both.
Tens. And you'll see like two rows of tens.
You don't see that in NFL stadiums.
No, you see a bunch of drunk guys fight.
Exactly. You don't see tens in NFL stadiums.
No, you don't see, no, of any kind.
Of any
no.
kind, unless it's like the players' wives and girlfriends. Like that section's tens, but the rest of the stadium is like, looks like me.
You say wives and girlfriends, like they have a wife and a girlfriend.
Well, I mean like wives to some players and girlfriends to other players.
Some players may do that. Not John Morant.
Not John Morant.
He's faithful.
No.
Mitch cleared that up a couple months ago that he's faithful.
Would never happen.
Never.
Never, ever.
It's not even something worth considering.
No, I don't know why we're talking about it.
Mitch, did you bring that take up to the St. Louis Cardinals when you interviewed?
Oh, that's a great
no.
What was one of your more famous conversations that you had on AM radio? Well, I had one where I blasted fajitas. And then I had one where I blasted a hometown guy that averaged 35 a game in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I
said John Morant was faithful to his girlfriend
no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the ones. Give me the three Issel and Creens. The Issel and Crean relationship is one to behold.
It's blossoming.
And it continued again today. So we have three in a row. Go ahead, Mitch.
Before we get to some interesting things happening. And Crean, can you do me a favor? Crean, can you? I guess Crean's sleeping.
Crean, could you wake up? If you could keep your headset on and pay attention a little bit.
Sounds good.
Mike has a favor to ask you. And that's what cost the Clippers the game last night, their inability to shoot free throws.
You know what the other story was of the game?
You know wait a minute. Who's coaching this team? You and me or Green?
You know how long it took?
This is Sports Talk with Mike Pratt, Jack Grossman, and Dan Issel, brought to you by Stockton Mortgage.
I just love how Crean just thunders on. And he kept going.
Dan Issel called him out. And he just kept going like it meant nothing.
Had to give his baseball take. I'm mowing the grass. I'm like, Crean, take a hit. Like, they're trying to get you out of the way. And he just thundered through. No, it wasn't the baseball take. It was basketball. I was like, because he was complaining about how long it took. That's what it was.
He's an addict.
He is.
Just like Mitch can't go without having a little bit of action on Germany-Hungary. He can't go.
Well, that
more
bet,
than a
sorry,
couple minutes.
I'm just fully invested in Germany losing. That's the team I have in the soccer pool. I'm in such a foul mood. I just want them to collapse. I want them to lose this.
I think you're getting that right now.
Yeah.
437-9680. Give me. Let's see here. Give me Crean explaining the 2K ratings to Issel.
Oh, this is great.
Why can't there be ABA teams in 2K, Dan? Or why isn't that something that we can put in there?
Well, I don't know. That's a good point. I don't what ranking? What was he talking about? I have ranking. What's that about?
So every player in video games has a rating out of 100, and the higher you are, the better your player is. That's how they make it to where LeBron James is expected to do more. Yeah, well, that's where LeBron James is going to have a higher rating than the eighth guy on the bench, and that's how they're able to put that into the game to where LeBron James is one of the best players in the game. So Dan's rating, I believe, is a 96 overall. So that's really, 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 really good. Is the way of putting that.
And the guy, he's still not passing in this game.
No, of course not.
That's why I have a 96.
How about that?
It's a little 96.
He explained his rating to him.
That's awesome.
I like that.
And then Crean's like, I like video games.
I mean, that is a darling relationship.
It is.
It's a very tender relationship.
It's like a grandfather.
Yeah, the relationship between Issel and Crean is not one that I expected. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah, he genuinely cares for Crean, it sounds like.
Process had no idea who Issel was when he walked in.
Oh,
he's a tall guy.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, he's a tall guy.
Who's that dude? Who is he?
It's Dan Issel.
Huh?
Well, Kellen wouldn't know, but he is nine.
He knows who Dan Issel is.
Would he know who Dan Issel is?
I don't know if he saw him, but he knows the name Dan Issel,
okay.
How great he is for Kentucky basketball. I don't know
there
if he saw
go.
Him.
Sucking
and he'd be
up.
Like,
look at you sucking
oh,
up
yeah,
today.
You feel bad about yesterday, don't you?
I
did feel bad about yesterday, and I was like, I'm mowing the grass. I'm going to turn on Issel and Pratt, and I enjoyed it. That discussion with Crean about the video game rankings was really cool. I liked that.
Texas says, will Job be faithful if he and his girl go on a pause?
I was.
I think he would be, yes.
Texas says, hey, Mitch, 13 of the 109 international goals by Ronaldo are penalties. 13 of 109.
I don't believe that stat. I think you need to recalculate.
He is in a foul mood today.
Mitch
continues to be in a foul mood. The lottery was set last night in the NBA, and what does that mean for the locals in mock drafts? I have the numbers. We'll talk about that next on this Wednesday. All right, guys, the Hightower Men's Clinic, we've been telling you about them month after month. If you are struggling with ED or PD, you don't have to. Find out if they can help you today and how they can help you with their revolutionary pulse wave therapy. It is the Hightower Men's Clinic, 690-2800, 690-2800, or you can find them online right now, hightowermens.com. Schedule that free consultation. Get that life back, pretty much. I mean, that's what they're trying to tell you. See if they can help you out today. Again, their pulse wave therapy, no drugs are involved, no needles. It's all natural. It's not invasive, and they're here to help guys just like you. It's the Hightower Men's Clinic, 502-690-2800 or hightowermens.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
TJ Beisner, friend of the show. Well, actually, friend of Andy. I've never met him.
And James Strebel.
Okay, so friend of Justin Jeffries.
And Bradley McKee.
Friend of Andy Sweeney. I've only talked to TJ like once, so he didn't really know who I am.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
If you're looking for a job, CarMax, they're hiring, and they're hiring experienced auto techs nationwide. Right now, you can go to CarMaxAutoTech.com, work on all the cars that you love. Join the team today there at CarMax and apply online, CarMaxAutoTech.com, CarMaxAutoTech.com. A quick reminder coming up tonight, Game 1, Hawks and Bucks, Eastern Conference Finals, 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 in the NBA on ESPN Louisville, presented by Bear Nose Pizza, UPS Jobs, and UofL Health. Two things, Strebel, I want to put you on the burner on real quick.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready, I guess.
You have a Devin Booker question for us.
I do, yes.
I want to get to that.
Okay.
The other thing, you slandered our guy Coop today. Do you want to tell the people your take on Cooper Hassan?
So, Cooper Hassan, I guess he's in Greece. And
living the life.
Living the life.
Every night it's a sunset.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful dinner.
Dinner with Rick Pitino.
Yeah, there's an exotic location. He's doing something that's awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
So, he was on a yacht.
He was on a yacht.
Instagram story, and I clicked on his Instagram story.
Damn right you did.
What's Cooper doing? I'm always interested in Cooper's life. Click on it. He pans the yacht, and it was him,
mm-hmm.
two guys, only one girl.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's
one of their
you
know, girlfriends.
Absolutely, yes. It is.
And I was a little disappointed.
So three guys, one girl on a yacht,
and she's affiliated with somebody on that yacht.
Yes,
and I was like, well, good for him being on a yacht in Greece. I mean, that's a baller move, but come on, like. Where's the rest of them?
You guys missed my alley-oop. I just gave you a perfect Jay Crowder pass, and you just totally missed my alley-oop.
What do you mean?
I played TJ Beisner?
Yeah. It's TJ's birthday today.
Well, yeah.
It is.
What, do you want Strebel to sing happy birthday,
I don't know.
Joe?
I just figured we wouldn't talk about it in the 5 o'clock hour, so I play the rejoin, wish TJ happy birthday, talk about the Cal tweet, and then we move on.
Oh, yeah, he did get I don't have the Cal tweet in front of me right now.
But he did get a Cal tweet. I saw that earlier today. He got a little Cal tweet
TJ Beisner. He got an Eric Lindsay tweet.
Okay, well,
Or whoever puts up the Twitter for John Calipari.
Well, maybe it was TJ Beisner wishing happy birthday
to himself. That could be the case.
From John Calipari.
I mean, that might be the case.
I would love that. If that was the case, that would be fantastic.
I don't think that happened, but if it did, I wouldn't be that surprised.
And I would be happy about it. It'd be great. But yeah, so that was Coop's
yacht
situation.
Do you want to sing happy birthday to
him? Sure, I'll sing. I've never met TJ, but.
Okay, well, that's fine.
That's fine.
I mean, there's people you've never met Mitch Barnhart before.
Happy birthday to him. The same to John Calipari.
But you met him before.
Yes,
you
I
shook
did.
His
I
hand.
Shook his hand. I did.
You were a credentioled media member.
Shook his hand. Said thanks for all you've done.
Again, Strebel was a credentialed media member.
Yes.
In the basement of Rupp Arena, shook the hand of John Calipari and thanked him for everything that he did.
Yes, absolutely. And it was.
It's a great story.
It was the Nerlens Noel season where they went to the NIT.
Oh,
And he hated the team, but it was early in the season.
God, he hated Archie Goodwin.
Yes, he did. That was when he played Raleigh Massimino's team. I can't remember who was coaching at the time, but I was credentialed for that game. And I was there for that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So the crappiest game on the schedule.
Yeah, the craziest game. Pretty much.
You had no seniority. Jason Markham wanted to go to the other ones. You didn't get North Carolina or Florida or Tennessee or Louisville. Remember all the games. You got that game.
Yeah, it was a highlight. Not a highlight season, though.
I don't know where. Let's go. Sing all happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, TJ Beisner. Happy birthday to you.
There you go,
TJ. Yeah. You don't have to deal with Locke anymore, which I'm sure you're very happy about.
No, I know he's only got a. He's only probably have to deal with an egomaniac coach. Well,
that's a great point. Yeah, but who'd rather deal with John Calipari or Wacklin McClain?
I understand he's a much better job, but I mean, Cal's in, these guys are nuts.
They're insufferable.
These guys are nuts. Well, every single one of them's nuts.
Yeah, I'm with you. Absolutely.
Texas says Mitch is in Doug Dumps.
Come on, France. Come on, France. Score. Get Benzema the ball and get out of the way.
At this point, we need a full loss by Mitch at this point.
Yeah, less than 10 minutes and whatever stoppage time is.
I hate to say it, but that's where we are right now.
These French. Best team in the tournament. French. Best team in the tournament. You can hear Mitch right now.
Oh, boy. I'm not going to read that one.
Oh.
Well, the whole yacht thing. Back to the yacht.
Yes, yes. So
Mitch, do you have an opinion on this? You're on a yacht in Greece, but it's all dudes and your buddy's girlfriend.
What do you think
about what's
that?
What's the thought process there?
Yeah.
I've been in that
situation before in Kentucky. I'd rather be in Greece than that situation.
That's how
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah, no, it was just That's an observation. Coop's balling. I'm not taking anything away from him. Just an observation. That's all it was.
No,
just,
it's a slight. You're banging on him a little bit here. That's what you're doing.
A little bit. Yeah, this is just a tad. Just
you're
a
mocking him a little bit.
I'm not mocking
him.
Yeah,
you are.
I just asked
you're
a question.
You're saying where are your ladies at in Greece?
Yeah, that's
it's not a bad question.
I've seen him in the clubs in Greece. His Instagram stories in the clubs where there's ladies all around. Like, bring them to the yacht. What? They'd love to be in the yacht, I'm sure.
Texas says, I heard Strebel asked Bellarmine for a weight waiver to play their 178-pound sprint football league.
No, I'm not playing any football. Really bad idea. The shape I'm in and everything, terrible idea. No.
I mean, I don't think the guy means it.
I know.
I think the texter is just being funny.
Just being
I don't
funny.
Think he thinks that you're going to try to get Bellarmine to lie. And then you show up and they're like, is he supposed to be a buck 78?
40-year-old
man. And it's you.
Yeah.
Texas says, LOL, no summer of Sugar Ray for Mitch. No.
No.
No, no. It's got to be a different summer thing. Last summer was the summer of Sugar Ray. I don't know what this summer is going to be.
Oh, boy. What did you say there? Boy, you almost cursed.
I did.
You were right on the edge.
I was saying the summer. I almost said, I wanted to say summer, but I
said
shimmer.
Shimmer. Like shimmer.
Like the shimmer of Sugar Ray is almost what I said. But he's like the summer of Avril Lavigne. I'm trying to think of other like 90s acts that had as many hits as Sugar
Ray. Wasn't she married to the guy from Sum 41?
She was, but now she's married to Chad Kroeger of Nickelback.
Is she really?
She is, yeah, yeah. She divorced the Sum 41 guy and married Chad Kroeger, who's also Canadian.
Would you rather be married to the guy from Sum 41, or would you rather be married to the guy from Nickelback?
Nickelback, he's way more loaded. He's got way more money.
Yeah, but it's way more money. But it's way more douchey.
Yeah, well, it's more douchey,
it's
but...
It's not even close. They got way... Nickelback has way, way more money...
Way
around
more
their
money
music than Sum 41.
Absolutely. So I think she did the right
but
thing.
But they're douches, and they're the punchline. Nickelback is the punchline.
Absolutely.
Like
Nickelback's the
punchline. Yeah, she's married to the punchline, the leader of the punchline.
She is. She is married to the punchline, but at the same time, she's married to the bank as well. Not that she's – I mean, I'm sure she has plenty of money. Don't get me wrong. But Nickelback's, like, super rich. They had, like, a, what, seven-year window?
Yeah, but here's the thing. You go to the money there, and everyone does.
Yeah.
But you believe in love and true love.
I do believe in love and true love. And maybe she loves Chad Kroeger. And she's in a better situation because, A, she loves him. B, financially, she's set.
Texas, two back-to-back, the Summer of Nelly.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I like that. Summer of Nelly. That was my summer senior year.
Texas says, 5 minutes after Mitch said he hopes Germany loses, they literally scored again to tie the game.
Yeah, but that dude doesn't follow soccer. Right now they're projected, if this result holds, they're out of this tournament. So I'm happy with Germany being knocked out.
Texas says Nick Valvano said his favorite band is Sum 41. Is Nick
really?
Still there?
I'm sure he is,
given that he hasn't podcasted probably yet. It's
he
nearly
is still
5
here.
O'clock.
And what about the Summer of Book? I thought it was the Summer of Book.
I'm fine with that.
I like the Summer of Book.
2-0. He did not play well last night.
He
but he's
not.
A warrior.
But he'll be fine. He'll be back. He you know, Campaign had to take over a little bit because, you know, Book had that triple-double.
Campaign's balling.
Once again, thank this area that there's a local product that scores almost 30 points in the Western Conference Finals. It's just so cool to see
there's
a local player like that.
You know, two of them have, Mitch. You had Booker do it the first game, and then Campaign do it the second game. Isn't that great? Doesn't it feel good to have players in the NBA that score and win? Not only score, but actually win, too. That's pretty cool. I like that.
You know what else is on my sheet of lies?
What?
Strebel's old alien show's going away.
It is. Last time it was your last episode.
Mitch, what a crappy thing for me to even put on my sheet of lies.
You did. You actually typed that out.
I did. Look at alien show going away. It's on my sheet of lies.
So why is it going away?
I have no idea.
Strebel used to be a part of an alien show.
Yeah.
And then he quit to spend more time with his family.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
And you've been regretting that decision.
I don't
family
regret
and
it.
Leaving the alien show.
No, that's not true
at all.
And
so your buddy Kevin Hale and what's her name?
Tiffany Mack.
Yeah. Which is a great name for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
Why are they stopping the alien show?
I don't know. I don't know if they like had a deal with the KGRA, which ran the show, and that deal went up or whatever. I have no idea. But I did see that last night, and I was like, oh, well, I'm not sure. I think they have other plans, so I don't think this show's going away. It's just not on KGRA anymore. That's what I assume.
You haven't had a conversation or anything?
No.
You haven't tried to angle to get back in there and start your own show?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
All right.
And I didn't regret it. You make me laugh like you regret
I mean, you
it.
Regret it a little bit.
No, I don't.
My other story that we will not get to except for right now,
yeah.
The predictable story that came out that there's no tuna in the Subway tuna.
I had that
subs.
On my sheet of lies as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They did like a DNA test on the tuna, and they're like, we can't find a species in here. It's just a concoction of things that we really don't know what it is. It was like 60 inches of Subway tuna sandwich that they tested in a lab. That's your job.
Well, I do feel like that particular sub, which is like $3,
is
the bottom of the fast food barrel.
Oh, it's the bottom. Oh, absolutely. It's definitely the bottom of sub sandwiches for sure.
No, it's the bottom.
It's the bottom of fast food in general.
Right, there. I might even say food in general.
Yeah, it might be. It might be the bottom of food.
I'm serious.
Would you rather eat tuna from Subway or a cicada? Like a cooked cicada? Because at least you know what a cicada is.
Boy, I tell you what, I might be leaning towards the cooked cicada.
I actually would, too. I don't like tuna in the first place. I'm not a big tuna fan. But, I'll never eat a tuna Subway sandwich again. That's disgusting.
Mitch, this is for all the marbles right here. Who in sports is known with the nickname Tuna involved?
Oh, Big Tuna. Oh. Is baseball, right? Big Tuna. Who's Big Tuna? Oh, no, this is killing me. I think it's baseball.
Mitch.
I want to say it's not wrong sport.
It's not
baseball?
Yeah, it's not baseball.
Nope.
Is it football?
Oh, this one's yes. This,
yeah.
Man, okay. This one's killing me.
Big Tuna.
You should know this.
I know I should know this.
I think The Office Jim, I think, was referred to as Big Tuna.
Yeah, he was. Andy Bernard called him Big Tuna.
I think that's what's confusing me.
Bill Parcells.
Oh, I should have known.
Super Bowl.
You think?
The Giants.
You think? By the way, Louis Rabot says, seems like a good time for Strebel just to tell us that Round of Shots is done, too.
I don't know.
Your hesitancy just not to just say it's done.
I don't know if it's done or not. I haven't gotten that final word. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think you have got that final word.
Maybe I have.
I think it's clear what's going on right now.
If there's a show to be done and he wants to do a show,
there
do
obviously
it.
Isn't.
Okay, that's fine. That's,
60-ounce Subway sandwich or the 6-inch filet?
6-inch filet.
Texas says the Pentagon's releasing FBI UFO files on Friday. They're always releasing things on Friday.
Friday news
dump. No, they're always releasing things, and it's always the same few things.
Yeah, well,
this is like the 19th different release that we've had here.
We know what they're going to say. It's already been leaked by the New York Times what it's going to say. It's going to say, well, we've ruled out that they're from aliens, but we don't know what they are. Well, how can you rule that out definitively
if you don't know what
we don't know what it is?
because they know what aliens are. They have aliens all over the place in bunkers in this country.
Well, they do. I mean, Area 51.
There's
yeah.
no doubt. Not even Area 51.
They're everywhere.
Sure they're, but they're
yeah.
everywhere.
SR-71. I mean,
yeah,
they're all over the place.
Probably ZX-93 is one of them.
Well, they're in the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky.
Mitch,
they're all
do you
over
think
the
SI-94 is one of them? There's no doubt they have one in the JA-18. There's no doubt.
Well, you see the former Russian joint, like the head of the military? No. Well, no. His name was Blankenbaker.
I did
not,
see him
not
today.
Mark. A former like Russian military leader said that he's physically seen UFOs coming up from and down into the ocean.
Oh yeah,
that's
where I'd go if I were the ends of the
hell
ocean.
Hell yeah, the ocean's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Texas says, did Round Denny and his wife take a break this week or nah?
No,
no, they're good.
No, we're great. No, we sat on the deck last night, had some drinks.
Did you really
enjoyed our company? Yeah, absolutely, had a great time.
You had people come over?
No, just two of us.
Oh, just you two?
Just you,
where are the kids at?
They were inside. They were in bed.
Okay.
It was late, you know. So we took out, took a breath of fresh air.
A little night night?
Had a few drinks, yeah. Yeah, had a nice
how about
discussion,
that?
Yeah.
How really, about that?
It was good.
437-9680, let's take a break. Mock Draft Mania, I will tease it a second break. We'll do that next.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.